Hey, welcome back to the Brian Park Project from NPR News. We are online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. You know what's coming. You've been waiting for it. The most emailed, most read, most mosted stuff on the interwebs. We call it the most. It's my goal to sing at least 6 words every show for the next
mission accomplished.
You know how you have that friend who didn't get our sarcasm when I called you like sexist or racist or something or anti-Albanian? Do you think
that's so odd that she wouldn't get that?
Do you think that? Well, listen. Turn your racist ears over here. Do you think that when you say the interwebs, people are like, do they really think it's called the interwebs? I mean, a percent of the audience must think that.
Let's find that person.
Yeah.
And interview them. Him or her.
Mm-hmm. Dan, you're talking. So you start with your most.
I think I'll just keep talking. I get a most emailed from Yahoo News. Astronomers on verge of finding Earth's twin.
What?
Yeah, that's right. It's pretty freaky, but it's true. Just last week, astronomers announced they had discovered 3 super Earths. Worlds more massive than ours, but small enough to contain some of the components that could possibly make
like a parallel universe.
A parallel universe. A doppelganger universe, if you will. Ooh. And this is very exciting news. They had already found a bunch of planets out there, but most of them were gas giants. And just recently, they had the technology to find these twins of Earth. And they're going to find one.
This is for real.
This is real. They say it's just a matter of time. And actually, you know, these astronomers sound pretty impressive, but I'm not so impressed because I did a little research on my own, and I found our twin planet.
Really?
I located it. Yeah, and actually, you know, because it's twin planet, there's a twin Bryant Park project there.
What?
I know. And I hooked up to their broadcast this morning and I got a little audio from that show. Let's check that out.
Overlooking historic Alien Bryant Park in Alien Manhattan, this is the Alien Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Alien news, alien information, alien apricots. I'm Alien Mike Pasco.
And I'm Alien Rachel Martin. It's Alien June 25th. Coming up on today's show, Alien apricots.
Oh, I love apricots.
A delicious compliment to human brains.
Who doesn't like brains? Yeah.
Love them. But first, here's the Alien News with Matt Martinez.
Let me out of here! I'm the real Matt Martinez! They want my brains!
Wow. Sort of an evil twin planet.
I mean, I don't want to go there.
It has a big eye patch on it.
I can hardly tell the difference.
I got out okay, guys.
Oh, you're okay? Okay, good, yeah.
That's close, man.
The wizard of speed and time. Trisha.
Worried.
Trisha, do you have a most? And if you
don't have that up.
Yeah, if you don't have that great production value, don't even bother coming to the party.
Mine's going to have some visuals, so you'll have to check out the video on this.
All right.
Have one of the most popular stories.
It's pretty good, actually.
The headline is "Mobile Phone Battery Dead? Try Dancing." So the idea is that somebody's come out with a portable kinetic energy battery charger for a mobile phone, and so they're going to try it out at a music festival in the UK. And I guess the idea is, you know, you use your body's motions to recharge your cell phone. So I think that's going to really give people who like are trying to raise the roof, now they have an excuse. So I'm going to do the visual now.
All right. That is her Trisha
raising, the roof in
so you gotta,
stellar
you know,
form.
Hey, I know it looks dorky, but I'm charging my
cell phone. I'm sorry. I think that would be so awesome. I would be so into that.
Trish, I think you just made my cell phone cry.
I'm sorry.
All right. Let me speak of technology and things that were spoken about at the LA Times. Now, a big happening was Mr. Shaquille O'Neal, who has taken to a nightclub in New York where he was doing some rapping about Kobe Bryant. And the two have some bad blood between them. And as part of this Shaquille O'Neal anti-Kobe Bryant rap, Mr. O'Neal attempted to elicit Mr. Bryant's opinion as to the subtle flavorings of Mr. O'Neal's posterior. We have not perhaps that part of the rap, but a little bit of this anti-Kobe rap.
Check it. You know how I be. Last week, Kobe couldn't do without me. You know how I be. Last week, Kobe couldn't do without me.
So here's how the LA Times is advancing that story. The sheriff of that famous sheriff from Arizona who puts everyone in striped suits. And
Joe Arpaio.
Yeah, Joe Arpaio, that's his name. Well, he gave Shaq some he deputized him and gave him some badges. Well, because of that rap video, because it has some foul language, he has now taken back his badges. Shaq no longer deputized by crazy attention-seeking sheriff. Okay, Rachel.
Okay, I have one of the most emailed at BBC.com. It's not funny. It's sad. What if you were getting married?
Why are you laughing?
Because it's kind of funny. What if you were getting married and you had ordered thousands of dollars of a wedding dress and bridesmaids' dresses and tuxedos, and then you called up to go pick that stuff up, and the wedding shop, there was a message that just said, we're closed because the owner's sick. So you're like, okay, that's inconvenient. What if you called up then a couple days later and there's no answer at all? You actually go to the shop and you see all those that soap on the windows and big
signs
that says closed, and no one can find the owners of this store. It's just closed down.
This almost exact thing happened to my sister-in-law.
Are you serious? But
yeah, like the woman disappeared and she couldn't find her dress and she had to take the deposit. And
yeah, I mean, a lot of
in the end, but it's pretty
all these people have paid their deposits.
Hiding out on an evil twin planet.
Yeah. More than 30 people have outstanding orders, and apparently the wedding shop owner is having some financial troubles. Funny enough. We'll just leave it at that.
Right. Soap on the window. That's the most depressing thing
it's
to
so
see
depressing.
In the world.
Soap on the window.
Is that actually happened? Soap?
Why the soap?
Even the window soap selling companies, they don't like the soap on the window.
Right.
Yeah.
Sad.
Soapy window.
Laura Silva, wrapping it up quickly.
Okay, where Greek mythology meets science. Researchers from the National Academy of Science have looked into to a key event in the Odyssey, and they think they've pinpointed exactly when Odysseus killed off his wife's suitors.
When was it?
Well, funny you should ask.
It's really been
it
bugging
was
me.
Only, yeah, there's only one sequence that correlates. It was during an eclipse of April 16th, 1178 BC. Beware.
I had it at 1179.
Because they had April back then.
Okay, this is fictional though, right? This didn't really.
Well, no, they correlated with real events, including a new moon and Venus being visible and high in the sky.
Right,
and
but they're
some
not
constellations.
Saying there was a real Odysseus who really met the Circe and the
I'm
not going there.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank
That's
you.
Enough information to quell my curiosity on that particular topic.
Ian!
Hey, team.
Hey, what
I've
up?
I got a most emailed from NPR. This was on All Things Considered yesterday. Goats and cows are heroes, which is why I want to play this story. Up in New York's Hudson River Valley, they're being used to rescue a turtle. That's kind of the animal kingdom, you know, helping each other out. John Nielsen saw it in a swamp. It's about 100 miles north of New York City.
The swamps that hold the last of New York's wild bog turtles are sunny, mucky places full of low green plants and waist-deep mud pits. Watch your step, says Jason Tesoro, but it's too late.
Well, I'm glad I brought that extra pair of pants.
Tesoro works for the Environmental Defense Fund. He says the mud pit I am now crawling out of is connected to a mess of hidden streams that bog turtles use like freeways. Then he pulls Exhibit A out of a mud puddle.
This is the female we always find at this site.
An adult bog turtle rests in the palm of Tesoro's hand. Mild-mannered, he observes, as the head reemerges from the 3-inch shell.
So that's as big as they get. You can see she has a orange neck patch.
Yeah.
That's this sort of diagnostic. And she's old. You can tell her age by how worn the top of her shell is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it looks like somebody's been sanding that thing
down. That's right. That's the abrasives in the soil. So we'll release her and take a little walk.
Tesoro says it's likely that bog turtles can live for more than 80 years in sunny swamps like this one. The problem is that many of these swamps have been invaded by a giant foreign weed that dries the soil out and steals the sunlight. It's known as Phragmites, and it forms dense thickets like the one we just walked into. Bog turtles will not live in these thickets, he says. Also, they grow very quickly.
And since I've been working here only 5 years, it seems to be moving, I don't know, a good 10 feet a year.
Mow these thickets down and they pop right back up again. On the other hand, Tesoro rarely sees them in well-grazed pastures, which helps explain why there is a tractor trailer full of goats parked on the far side of the thicket we've just passed through. As we watch, the trailer's doors are opened and the goats fly past us, straight into the foreign frag patch.
And the buck is out left.
John Adrizzo, the owner of a company called New York Meat Goat Associates, drove this trailer up from New York City. He says those goats will eat all of the plants they can find out there in the swamp. He calls it browse, and then go looking for more.
They love browse. Goats prefer browse than anything else. So what happens is they'll eat most of the browse, and then when that starts to die down, they start to girdle the tree. But they bite around the edge.
And just kill them.
And it girdles it, yeah.
Adrizzo says the thought of using goats to save endangered turtles used to seem ridiculous to him. Then the U.S. Department of Agriculture started paying him to do just that. Now it seems like a crazy plan that just might work.
It's a unique project. Plus they fertilize the area, so there's a little give and take.
The reason it might work, according to Tesoro, is that the native plants devoured by these goats tend to bounce back in a hurry. But the big Phragmites thickets just can't survive the constant grazing.
So they will knock down all that litter, all that dead stuff, and all the standing right. biomass within a season. If we came back 2 months from now, 2.5 months, we could stand here and see the back line of that fence where we just walked.
And we can't rather, see any of it.
Now. Rather than that impenetrable thicket, yeah.
Actually, we didn't have to wait 2 months to see those changes. They were on display inside a fenced-in swamp just a few miles up the road. A year ago, the place inside this gate was one big dried-out weed patch, says Tesoro. Now, thanks to a herd of hungry livestock, it is once again a sunny swamp. Tesoro says the rare bog turtles are returning to the swamp and laying eggs on dried-out dirt mounds, like the one right in front of us.
The turtles actually said, hey, this is pretty nice nesting habitat.
Oh, yeah, look at that. You know, a teeny-weeny little nest.
That's right. Had about 4 eggs, and these are all hatched.
Oh, it's working.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing good here, for sure.
Tesoro says this swamp was cleared by local dairy cattle and not goats shipped up from New York City. When the federal funds used to pay for the goats run out in a few years, he hopes to use the cattle instead. Whether that will happen will depend on whether the small farmers that own these cattle stick around, he says. These days, more and more of them are selling their farms to rich folks moving up from New York City.
NPR's John Nielsen. He likes turtles. For links to all the stories on The Most, go to npr.org and find your way over to the Bryant Park part. You're smart. You'll figure out how to do it.